Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
After 3 days in the desert and 1 day to travel, our host Jesse Agler knows there's a lot going on with the Padres as they prepare for their first of three tonight in San Francisco.
I feel like I've said this every single day so far this season, but we have a lot to talk about.
And joining Jesse Agler in studio, it's Taylor Swift. Oh, no, wait, it's Randy Jones.
Taylor Swift in your dreams.
Get real. Bloopers dreams.
But don't worry. Blooper's still trying to get Taylor Swift booked for the show somehow, some way.
He wrote her a poem the other day on Twitter. So he's trying to get creative with it. And you know the ladies love poetry.
You wrote that poem?
Yes.
I saw that.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. He may have gotten some help.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Start of a three-game series in San Francisco between the Padres and the Los Gigantes, the Giants. We're at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Team is up at AT&T Park. Different place. That's Northern California. This, they tell me, is Southern California. And the team will be back at home this weekend to take on the Diamondbacks, who they just saw.
If you wonder what I was doing, though, I was just wiping the heat off my jeans.
I was going to say, as we were getting ready to go on the air, you were frantically brushing yourself off, and I thought maybe there had been an issue somewhere.
I had heat all over my jeans.
Heat?
Inland, it's a little caliente.
See, up in your neck of the woods. In the 90s today?
Yeah, like
is that 96. Right?
96.
Do you mind if I turn off your ringtone?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. I didn't want to offend you and reach over and turn it off, but, you know.
I'll call him back.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably a better idea. Hey, we got a nice beach towel next to you. That's the giveaway on Saturday night.
That is nice,
man. For baseball night in San Diego. Now, you know what I like about this one? Not only is it a nice towel that you take to the beach and you can use to dry off or to lay on or whatever, but also... What do you got going?
Go ahead.
Okay, no. Also, the way it's designed, you can set that up on the beach, and now you can play beach.
Wiffle ball,
beach baseball, whatever, because you've got home plate all figured out.
Yeah, see, I can use this. See, and our pitchers need to use this corner here and that corner there.
Right.
And stay out of there.
Yes.
No. Here, yes. There, yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Now that we've gotten that
this
figured out, I think the whole thing is going to turn around.
RJ35 Telestrator here.
Pitching lessons with Randy Jones on Padres Social Hour.
Yes.
Okay, so very nice. So everybody in attendance on Saturday night will get the beach towel for baseball night in San Diego. It's going to be a fun weekend here at Petco Park, and we do hope to see you out here. In addition to all of that, of course, we've got these three games against the Giants. Despaigne and Bumgarner tonight.
Mm.
Odrisimer Despaigne, as you probably know, has pitched really, really well against San Francisco in his career. Madison Bumgarner, as you know, is just a really, really good pitcher. So it's kind of a fun matchup tonight in this one, the first of three. And you know what I realized today? So I don't check the standings every day, like the full standings. I think you make yourself crazy doing that.
I agree.
You know, you're 70-some-odd games into the season right now. At this point, there's no reason to, like, go nitty-gritty every single day and check the standings. But a couple times a week I do. And you know what I realized when I was looking at the National League West standings today? Everybody sucks right now in the National League, with the exception of the Diamondbacks.
They're playing good baseball.
You know how you look at the standings and it gives you the team's record in the last 10?
Right.
Now, that's not representative of anything other than the last week and a half, but it does give you a little sense of what's going on. The Dodgers in their last 10, 3-7. The Giants in their last 10, 4-6. Padres, 3-7. Rockies, 3-7. Diamondbacks, 7-3. So the point is that the Padres, we know, haven't been winning very much lately. In fact, as I just told you, they've lost 7 out of their last 10 games. But they're 5.5 games in back of the first-place Dodgers. And that's striking distance. And look, obviously things got to go better for the Padres in order for them to decrease the amount of space between them and the Dodgers, or the Diamondbacks and the Giants, for that matter, the other teams in front of them. But everybody's sort of scuffling right now in the National League West, with the exception of the Arizona Diamondbacks, who've really been a little bit hot, have pulled to within a game of .500, have pulled to within 4 games of the Dodgers in the division. But it's been a little bit ugly for most of these teams as of late.
Yes, and, you know, I talked about it earlier that, you know, if the Padres, you know, stay around .500 until they get their act together. You mean I'm waiting to look up and see the last 10 games? They're 7-3, and look where they'd be. You know, and then I don't mind talking about it. As soon as I get over 500, Jesse, I'll talk all about it.
Yeah.
As long as you're under 500, don't talk to me about records and how many you're out.
I agree 100%. I agree 100%. But yeah. I think today it was I saw a relevant sort of piece of information there that all these teams have been struggling in the last 10 games.
And you know, it was funny, too, in doing pitching matchups against the Diamondbacks this past time. Mm-hmm. You know, and looking at all the pitchers in their previous start, you know, they all had really good outings. You know, it was a good indication of why they're 7-3 their last 10. And their pitching was really good here this past 10 days.
It usually comes back to that, doesn't it?
It really does.
I mean, we talk about the Padres, and everybody is upset about this, and they're upset about that, and there's Buddy talk and Kemp talk, and why is he batting fourth? Those seem to be the things we were hearing from fans, and I get why, but those were the things we were hearing over and over again. But then, and I've pointed this out a few times in the last week or two, you look down, and the Padres are one of the top scoring teams in the National League. But the starting pitching hasn't been what we hoped, expected, thought it might be.
And you know, and it's that easy, to be honest with you. You know, when we see that 7-3 in the last 10 games, Jesse, when you see the Padres are 7-3, you know, I'll guarantee you the pitching is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
At least in like 7 of those 10 games.
That's exactly
or,
right.
Or 5 or 6 of the 7 wins. You get the one every once in a while, right, where the pitcher struggles. Maybe he gives up his 4, 5, 6. But the offense picks them up that day. But you can't count on that happening most nights.
Yeah, you're talking about 2 turns to the rotation. They get it done.
That's it. So, anyway, that's how we start tonight. That was my sort of, semi-weekly look at the standings and just something that stood out to me and popped out to me. So it'll be Despaigne and Bumgarner. We'll talk a lot about that. We'll get to your questions and your comments throughout the show today. Remember, you can join us on Twitter by using the hashtag PadresSH. That's how you join the conversation. You send in your questions and your comments using that hashtag. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour.
Would it be rude, like when Bill Sinner is sitting here on the couch – and I'm watching you guys.
Yeah.
It would be rude if I tweeted something about Bill Sinner. Would
no,
that be bad?
Of course not.
That wouldn't be bad.
In fact, I would encourage it.
Okay, good.
Give us an example of something you might tweet at Bill Sinner when you're at home watching the show.
When he says something stupid.
Right.
You know.
Do you have any recent examples in mind?
I didn't. Yeah, it was spur of the moment. I can't remember
okay,
which
no,
one
that's
it was.
Fair. That's fair. I mean, but you were sitting there.
There's so many.
You said it, not me.
Sorry, Bill.
No, you're not sorry. So what you're saying is you're sitting at home.
Yes.
You got your dog.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just sitting there watching social hour, and then I do a double take when Bill says something.
Please, I encourage it.
Okay.
And you know, good. With the technology as it is, Blooper can get that thing fired up immediately, and it can almost be like you're here. You know what the other thing is? You've got the number to the bat phone.
If you
ever wanted to call in and just rip into him, you know, that way.
I could do that.
100%.
Awesome.
Again, I would encourage it. Not only is it all right, but it would be encouraged.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I'm gonna put it on speed dial.
Yeah, just make it one of your favorites.
Yep.
And then anytime somebody says something you want to get in on, you just dial.
Hey,
the
Blooper,
thing.
You better pick up when I call.
Hear always.
Me? All right.
Always.
I'm warning you, man. I'm warning you.
Cool.
I know how he does.
Yeah, no, I know. We all know how he does. unsuccessfully most of the time. All right, so that's the way this thing sets up. Also, we're going to do one of our favorite segments on the show a little bit later called So That Happened with Patrick Kirsch. Friar figures. Some of all the crazy little nuggets.
I love
statistical
it.
Nuggets that involve the Padres, and in particular, Odrysimer Despaigne. Let's talk about Despaigne for a moment, though, you and I.
All right.
Randy Jones. He was on a roll. He was on a nice roll. He had had several good starts in a row, and then the other day in Oakland against the Athletics, not a good start. Now, what was different for Despaigne the other day at the Coliseum against the A's?
Typically, time and again, it goes back to command. You know, when he has really good command, and he's hitting really good spots. You know, Oakland seemed a little more aggressive against him, and trying to get to him early, but just too many mistakes over the middle of the plate, and those kids squared up on him. When he's most effective in the great run we've seen him in is where he's established that good fastball, two-seam fastball away from right-handers, into right-handers, then the off-speed stuff blending down. But, so nothing's above the thigh, prototypically.
Right.
Everything's down around the knees. And, then when he misses, he's missing down. That's when he's the most effective. All of a sudden, if he starts elevating or starts getting behind, loses command of that fastball, it seems kind of things can kind of fall apart for Odrysimer. And, next thing he makes it, misses with a breaking ball, and boom.
Yeah.
Like I said, they were looking early for fastball. He got it, three-run homer.
Yeah, Swift Billy.
Yeah, you're behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and he was able to hit the ball a long way. Oof. I think one thing we've learned about Despaigne in the year that he's been there, here. And by the way, today, the one-year anniversary of his first major league start in San Francisco. Oh, the irony is that last start not going to bother him this start. We've learned that about this guy.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty resilient. he's going to shrug it off like water on a duck's back, and you go about your business, get ready for your next start. He matches up, I think, very well with the San Francisco Giant lineup.
So you're saying it's not just a statistical anomaly he's had success against them?
I think just the makeup, of the hitters in the Giant lineup, and when Odrisimir's on and hitting good spots, I think he can chew up that lineup. They like mistakes, and if he's hitting that spot with that fastball, setting up the off-speed stuff, he can get them out on their front foot. He does a good job with them.
First major league start a year ago tonight at AT&T Park. 7 shutout innings for Despaigne.
I'll take that again tonight.
Sign me up. Sign me up. That sounds really good. Really? Okay, cool. Off to a fun start here with Randy Jones. A lot of tweets coming in, so we'll take a break, come back, and we'll dedicate a big chunk of the next few minutes to Twitter questions and comments that are coming in. You can join that conversation again using the hashtag PadresSH.
And when we come back, I will show everyone how to throw the spitball.
You never did that.
What?
No.
You're not cheating. You're not trying.
No, I think that's kind of the way it works in baseball. Certainly. In addition, as we mentioned, we'll do some Friar figures coming up in a little bit, which is always fun. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, come back. Lots of Twitter right after this. Padres Social Hour presented by United.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Patrick's coming up in a few minutes. He's here. He's ready to go.
Right here, AMR Studios. He's here.
You can see him right now on the TV. He's going to do some Friar figures for us coming up in a little while. We've got the beach towel that's hanging out. The beach towel, not quite as good of a guest as the backpack was that day that you didn't show.
No, the backpack was great that day.
Backpack
I watched
did.
That show, too.
Yeah, no.
I had a front row seat.
Yeah, you did. You were the reason for that
That's
show.
Right.
But any hoodles, lots of good tweets coming in, a lot of questions, and stuff, that we got to get into. I think it's – I said I take a look at the standings, once or twice a week at this point in the season. It's kind of a good time to take a step back and look at some big picture stuff, too, especially after the off day. So we got some big picture questions coming in. People know that trade deadline is looming just about 5 weeks from now. That certainly will impact the way this season plays out. So we got all that stuff to get to. We're going to begin, though, with Tom H., and it's his birthday. Tom, happy birthday. He says, hey, enjoying Padres Social Hour on my birthday with a cold brew in this great 75-degree San Diego weather. Life is good. Happy birthday, Tom.
Happy birthday, Tom.
We're very pleased that you're spending part of your day with
us.
That's very nice of you. So happy birthday to Tom. All right, so these next two kind of go together here, Randy, and this is the big picture stuff I was talking about. Angels Creation says, if the Padres get swept by the Giants, is the season over? Too soon, LOL, and then go Friars. Justin says, is this the most important stretch of the season considering opponents and the current standing? So basically they want to know, is it all riding on the next week or so, whether it's this Giants series or maybe the homestand coming up against Arizona?
I don't think it's not all riding on this weekend series. But, I think rolling up to All-Star break, there's going to be some tough decisions have to be made. So I just think, especially the road trip right prior to All-Star break, is going to be the turning point in the season.
That's the one you got. Circled.
That's the one I'm recognizing.
So what is it like? St. Louis, Pittsburgh, and Texas.
Yeah, it's not. Two of them I know for sure. St. Louis and Pittsburgh are going to be some tough series. But I think how that goes is going to be an indication.
Okay, so
I really
that's where you're looking. All of that said, you could do yourself some good by having a nice stretch here.
Yeah, you could do yourself some good by winning 3 in a row in San Francisco.
Yeah.
That wouldn't hurt my feelings.
I'll take that.
Or at least win a series, come back home with a little momentum. That I would take that. What you can't do is go up there and play some poor baseball and get swept.
Right.
Or you believe me, not believe what's going to be on Twitter.
That'll be nothing like what we just saw. All right, so earlier we talked about, some of the starting pitchers having some troubles this year. Don Enrique wants to get into the why. So what have you seen? He says, well, why hasn't the starting pitching been what we expected? That's kind of the million-dollar question,
well,
maybe.
In simple terms, it's command. I don't think our starting pitchers have gone out there and had the command, you know, that I expected of them. I mean, hitting good spots, setting, you know, other pitches up. I'm seeing way too many mistakes, elevated in the strike zone, over the middle of the plate. You know, not command of the strike zone. Too many walks, getting behind too many hitters. You know, and that's been the frustrating part for me. Because I know they're better than that. And it just really frustrates you to watch day in and day out where they make mistakes. Now, the one thing, Jesse, if you're hitting good spots for the most part, and then you make a mistake, you can get away with it because you're the element of surprise. You know, but when you're inconsistent, you're 2-0 all the time, or it's 2-1, 3-1, you know, and where you're kind of forcing where you can't, it's really hard to make that quality pitch then where you got to catch more of the plate. I mean, you're setting yourself up to fail, you know, and I think that just happened way too much.
So what can they do?
Get more consistent. I mean, work on your craft. I mean, you know, you got to be able to throw that. If you're throwing that two-seamer, you know, down and away to a left-hander, you got to throw it for a strike. I mean, a ball, two balls off the plate for ball one, ball two is not going to get it done. You have to get better.
How optimistic can we be about that happening, you know, between now and the end of July, I guess?
Never give up. I'm very optimistic. You know, we saw Tyson Ross do it the other day.
Right.
Okay? And every one of these guys is capable of doing that. There's no doubt in my mind they are. You just got to get mentally tough and you go out and make it happen. You got to get it done.
How important is Tyson's next start coming off of that one?
I think it's very important.
Yeah.
And I want him to start building some momentum. I thought he worked a little bit quicker. He looked more confident on the mat. And when you work a little bit quicker like that, you know, maybe it was a little higher leg kick, a little more leverage for him, you know. And those are the little things you have to do sometimes to, you know, create that consistency. But I want to see it again, even working faster like that and throwing strikes. You know, everybody, your infielders are on their toes. You know, they're paying more attention. You walk two or three guys, you're behind everybody, your offense gets flat-footed, and that's where you have a tendency of having a mental lapse or an error happening. And so I think it makes all the difference in the world. Go out and control the tempo of a game like he did. Very impressive.
You're not the only pitcher I've heard talk about that recently. You know, the defense, it's very easy when there's an error on an infielder to put it on the infielder. And obviously, at the end of the day, it's that guy's responsibility to field that ground ball or to make that throw or whatever it is. But I've heard so many pitchers over the years take responsibility for those kinds of things happening because, as you said, either the pace isn't good or they're missing pitches. And it's sort of, I don't want to say it forces the infielders to relax because certainly it doesn't, but it does get them a little bit off edge when you want them on edge. You want them engaged. And if you're working quickly and if you're throwing strikes and you're getting results, that can happen.
They can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah. All right. Very interesting stuff right there. All right. So Don Enrique, I hope that's some of the why. Obviously, it's the million-dollar question, you know, for the Padres and what's been going on. Good Twitter questions coming in. You can throw yours up at us using that hashtag PadresSH, and we'll keep going to some here. Our buddy Cody, who's the kid, he's on summer vacation now, so he's got all kinds of time to tweet at us. He wants to know about Matt Kemp's success in the second half of the season. Last year, in particular, Matt Kemp was unbelievable in the second half of the year. Sometimes I imagine it's a health thing. But other explanations you've heard over the years for a guy that is maybe significantly better in the second half of the season?
Well, a lot of times it's just that all-star break where you kind of clear the brain. I mean, you clear the mind a little bit. Second half, let's start anew. It's a brand new beginning. And some guys are a lot better than that than others. Some guys, you know, don't want to fix something that ain't broke. They're playing well. But, you know, overall, you know, Matt Kemp last year, all of a sudden, it just everything kind of clicked for him. Felt more comfortable just seeing the ball better at the plate, you know. And I think I'm hoping that happens again, you know, with him. You know, no doubt that I don't think he's seeing the ball as well from the at-bats that I've seen. But, you know, I'm hoping he has a big second half. We're going to need that.
I mean, it's one of the things I think as a Padre fan that can provide you some hope because he is the guy that when he gets hot, he can carry a team.
Oh, definitely.
He's more than capable of carrying a team over the course of, you know, a week or two if he gets hot and if he's got that sustained success in the second half the way he did last year. It that's how this team goes on a run. That's one way this team goes on a
run. And that can be contagious, Jesse, to some of the other guys, too. He starts swinging the bat a little bit better. They got to pay a little more attention to Matt Kemp. All of a sudden, maybe somebody else in the lineup's getting a little bit better pitch because of that. It can make a big, big difference throughout the lineup. You just don't even realize it.
Yeah. All right. One more before the break, and then maybe we'll come back and do some other Twitter questions as well. Plus, we've got fire figures coming up with Patrick. Jeff is calling Blooper out a little bit here.
Mm.
He says, hey, if Taylor Swift is not able to get on the show, maybe Blooper can book Madonna when she's in town at the end of October, just in time for the World Series. I didn't even know Madonna was coming.
I had no idea.
She's not playing Petco Park, though, right? No. So we got no need for Madonna.
Yeah.
Here's what we got. We got Taylor Swift. He's got to get. He's got to get Conan. And Conan's doing his shows from the Spreckles Theater downtown during Comic-Con.
Okay.
And Triumph, the insult comic dog. That's who Blooper's got to try and get on Social Hour over the course of the next couple of months. He's reaching
Blooper,
for Madonna.
Don't go 0-for-3, dude. Don't do it.
Is 1-for-3 okay?
No.
I mean, it's a 333 average.
Yeah,
I want 2.
If you
were
a baseball player, that would be great. Okay. You're not a baseball player.
I know you're halfway there to getting Taylor Swift. There's no doubt in my mind.
Halfway?
I know he's halfway.
You think he's Mickey Inroads?
I'm just confident, yeah. I know that he's sent quite a few, you know,
tweets
to her.
Yeah, no, I'm sure she only gets a couple of days, so I'm sure they've stood out.
Well, that's why you got to keep tweeting. She may not be catching up with you quite yet, Blooper.
She'll get there. She'll be on.
I feel like he's going to get a visit from one of her security people at some point. I think it's going to get to that.
You talking about stalking?
Yeah, I think there could be a little bit of,
hey, we
need you to back off. We don't know what this hashtag PadresSH is.
Maybe we can interview them.
Sure. I mean, that's like half a Taylor Swift.
That's right.
If you get a threatening security person to come by the show, I think you'll get like
that'd
half
be
a
awesome.
Credit. Half a credit for that. All right. After the break, more Twitter questions and comments, and then Fryer figures with Patrick. He's got some doozies today. Doozies.
Really?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Love it.
Hey, do you know an all-star mom? Well, Arm & Hammer and OxiClean, the official laundry detergent and stain fighter of Major League Baseball, are going to recognize an all-star mom and send her and her family to the 2015 All-Star Game in Cincinnati. So go to allstarmom.com and tell us what makes your mama so special. Allstarmom.com. Take a break. More questions, more comments. Padres Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. Game one of a three-game series between the Padres and the San Francisco Giants is coming up. We're here at the AMR studio at Petco Park. Baseball will be back to Petco Park on Friday night when the Padres take on the Diamondbacks. How about this? You ready to hear something crazy?
Yes.
This homestand, which features the Diamondbacks and the natural rivals, the Mariners, is the last homestand for the Padres before the All-Star game.
I know it's a long stretch you're going to be on
the
road.
That's crazy.
I know.
Five more home games before the All-Star game. That's insane. That's where we're at on the baseball calendar.
Well, and also they're heading back Midwest, back East.
Yeah.
St. Louis, Pittsburgh. The
Texas.
Rangers.
It should be nice and cool in St. Louis and Texas.
Toasty.
Yeah. Pittsburgh Pittsburgh could be nice.
You could
get nice Pittsburgh. We were there in August last year, and it was beautiful.
What?
It was like 78 and sunny with very little humidity. Pittsburgh, we got very lucky last
year. I don't remember
those
nights. I don't remember any nights.
You know
like
what they told us when we were there? And this, of course, is when the whole beef with the parrot began. But they said these are our nicest like 3 days we've had all year. They said we got real lucky last year in Pittsburgh. But St. Louis in July, Texas in July.
Hot.
Is it true they play their games at 8 in Texas because it's so freaking hot? That's disgusting.
I would.
That's disgusting. Put a roof on the place in Arlington. If you got to play a 4-hour American League game beginning at 8 o'clock because it's too hot.
Come over and play in the football stadium.
Yeah.
There's enough room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Open up Jerry's place.
Yeah.
Yeah, reconfigure it a little bit.
Just a little.
Yeah, just a little.
Might be 380. You know, feet down the line.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then like 720 to right or something. But like that's disgusting that you got to play at 8 o'clock at night because it's so hot. But anyway, that's the road trip coming up after this homestand. All right. Some really good pitching talk from you. And that's not just me saying that. SD Original on Twitter. And you know the old saying, if SD Original is saying it on Twitter, it must be true. He says Randy Jones kicking some pitching knowledge. Padre, he appreciates what you had to say, and
well,
I did as well.
You know, yeah. I watch these guys day in and out. Nobody's pulling harder for these starting pitchers than I am.
No, I know that.
I know how hard it is. But also I just get so frustrated, you know, when they can't be consistent. Just have that command that I know they're capable of doing, but it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You got to get it done, guys.
All right.
Got to.
I've mentioned the words trade deadline together quite a few times in the last few days, and I'm not alone. The fans are really into this right now, and, of course, it's coming in a hurry, a month and a week away, you know, the end of July. So Devin and Matt, kind of, you know, a pair of questions here that go along those lines. Devin very broadly wants to know if we see the Padres as buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. Matt is getting a little bit more specific, and he wants to know if there's any chance the team could be in the running for a Cole Hamels or a Johnny Cueto before the trade deadline. Let me start here with all of that. I think we don't know yet whether they're going to be buyers or sellers. You may not know until, like, then almost.
It's that simple. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball to be played. And it's what's going to happen here in the next couple of weeks. Well, you know, almost up the trading deadline, Jesse. Because then that last 2 weeks after that is when it's going to happen. So, you know, by All-Star break, I think you're going to have a pretty good idea. We're going to be buyers or sellers.
Okay, so you're saying by the All-Star break.
Yeah, you should know.
I think it could be a little bit later than that, but you're right. That's sort of an easy line of demarcation.
Yeah.
You know, that's an easy thing to circle on the calendar.
I think then you kind of know where your tendencies are, who you're talking to and what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. But unless they get really hot or really cold, it could be even later than that.
I agree.
And you're right. If they get really hot and all of a sudden they win, you know, 12 out of the next 16 or something like that, they could very well be buyers because they could be at or around first place in the division. If it goes the other way, well, then, you know, probably going to be sellers. And, you know, Cole Hamels, he's been rumored, I feel like, to go to every team in baseball.
Another opportunity.
Right.
Both of those guys.
They're moving.
And believe me, there's plenty of guys out there that we don't even probably realize right now that – possibly could be available.
Yeah.
So you just don't know.
There's all kinds of movement that's going to take place.
There's always a few wows at the end of July.
Yeah.
You know, typically.
A couple to catch
down.
You off guard.
You go, whoa, I didn't see that one.
We had a question earlier from a guy, and he was asking about Justin Upton, and he said flat out, is Justin Upton a Padre on August 1st? And that gets wrapped into this whole conversation.
Yeah. If you're in the mix and you're in contention, you definitely got – he's right here. You know, but all of a sudden, if we find ourselves way out of it or – you know, a couple of injuries go down and we lose 7 out of 10 again. You know, it might be a question of if you want to just go ahead and maybe try to move him now.
Wait and see.
That's
stay tuned.
You can speculate all you want, but
we're
going to have to wait.
Right now we're just we're kicking the can down the road and kind of waiting to see where we're
well
at
said.
When you get a little bit closer to the actual trade deadline. Deadline spur action. That's the old That's the old phrase, and it certainly rings true. All right, we'll take a break, and when we return, we're going to do Fryer Figures. Patrick is here.
All right.
A little segment we like to call, So That Happened. And we call it that because he says that, and it's a cute thing that we do. So we'll have that coming up. We'll have some interesting nuggets, statistical nuggets.
So That Happened.
About the Padres, coming up with Patrick and Fryer Figures. Hey, be at Petco Park on Friday night for San Diego's biggest happy hour. It's always great. Beer Fest features live entertainment and $5 beers from a variety of local and national breweries. Stay for the action as the Padres take on the Snakes at 7:10 this Friday night. Padres.com/beerfest for more information. Padres.com/beerfest out at the park at the park. Take a break when we come back. Fryer Figures on Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
One year ago tonight, June 23rd, 2014, Odrysamir Despaigne took the mound at AT&T Park in San Francisco, made his Major League debut. He threw 7 shutout innings. Tonight, he's back.
Let's do it again.
Randy Jones is here. Patrick Kurris joins us from the Padres Communications Department. He runs a little Twitter account we call Fryer Figures. You can follow it at Fryer Figures. And every once in a while, he pops down to the AMR studio, and he joins us for what we like to call...
So That Happened.
There you go.
Like
in which
it.
We sort of take a look at some of the little statistical nuggets that Patrick comes up with and tweets at Fryer Figures. So let's begin with our boy Odie. The bird is with him in San Francisco.
The bird is with him.
Which is always a good sign. And we sort of anecdotally mentioned earlier he's had great success against the Giants in his career. But you're going to tell us just how successful.
Yeah, he's been quite successful to this point. 4 starts, 3 appearances. He's posted a 0.36 ERA. That's only 1 earned run over 4 appearances. That's 3 starts. That's the third best ERA of any starter against any team since the start of 2014. And the second best in the National League behind Julio Teheran, who has got 0 earned runs allowed to the Cincinnati Reds in that time. And the Rays' Chris Archer hasn't allowed a run to the Mariners since the start of 2014. So, yeah, that's pretty effective when you break that down.
And you said four outings but only three starts, but in actuality, the one relief appearance was almost like a start.
It was a start.
It was four two-thirds innings. It was perfect baseball, if you remember. Not
I
a
do.
Hit, not a walk, which was the longest perfect relief outing by a pitcher in Padres history.
There you go. That's a bonus nugget.
Yeah, that was like his first really long relief. He was our long man.
It was the home opener.
Yep.
Yeah, and he comes in long relief and just slammed the door.
So you put on top of that, he's limited the opponents to a 101, excuse me, batting average against the Giants in that time. That is the second lowest opponent's batting average against any team.
So in his 24-plus innings against the Giants, he's got an 0.36 ERA, and they're hitting 101 against him.
Yeah, that's
Bumgarner who?
Yeah.
Exactly. And if you remember on that, we're just talking about that, his career debut exactly 1 year ago today, through seven innings of shutout baseball, did not allow a walk, which made him just the seventh major league pitcher in history to throw seven or more shutout innings and not allow a walk in his major league debut.
Major league appearance.
First National League pitcher to do that since 1988.
That's 1988?
That's not easy to do.
No.
How old were you in 1988?
Not even one yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't go there, Jesse.
That's all.
Okay? That's enough of that.
Oh, okay.
All right, cut it out.
Yeah, my bad.
You know I'm sitting here.
All right, so Despaigne, sensational against the Giants in his career. Madison Bumgarner, meanwhile, last year's World Series MVP against the Padres, not so spectacular over the course of his career.
A little bit of a different story. Over the course of his career, he's pitched to a 3.56 ERA. That's 46 earned over 116 and a third innings, which is his highest ERA against any major league opponent that he's thrown 50 or more innings against. So the Padres are able to get to him a lot. He's also allowed 12 homers against the Padres, which is his highest total against any opponent. And his 6.97 OPS, which is a 2.94 on base plus a 4.03 slugging, is his second highest OPS against a single opponent.
So the Padres slug him nicely.
They hit him nicely.
They hit him.
They get on base, get extra
12
bases.
12 dingers. You know, good call.
Yeah, that adds to the old slugging percentage.
That really does.
You get four.
You know, and that's one thing I remember. Just he's given up a lot of home runs, it seems like, to the Padres.
Exactly.
You know, which bodes well for our ball club. And, you know, they're picking up those mistakes.
Randy, what do you say to the person cursing us at home right now for jinxing Despaigne by talking about how good he is against San Francisco and how bad Bumgarner is against the Padres? What do you say to the guy who's angry at us right now? Because I know he's out there.
I'm with him. He's reading my mind. You know, both of you. What are you guys
Patrick,
doing?
Blake Patrick, I didn't come up with these.
Odie's just doing fine. You don't need to – oh, man. Baumgartner's probably listening to this. Nice job.
I hope he is.
You know, and what you got?
I hope Madison Bumgarner prepares for every start by watching Padres Social Hour.
Go ahead and get and just find out what Baumgartner's done his last couple of starts, how he's thrown the baseball.
He's thrown it well.
Really well.
Yeah.
So
eight innings in his last three?
All this other.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Let's talk about how good he's been lately.
Yeah,
let's do that.
Plus innings. You know,
in
not
each
giving
of his
up
last
squat,
three starts.
Not getting a lot of run support,
no.
But he has been dialed in.
He's been so good, that Madison Bumgarner. I don't even know how he's given up any hits lately. That's how dialed in he's been. Oh, man. All right, we're trying. All right, so there's a note on each starting pitcher for tonight's game. Despaigne for the Padres and Bumgarner for the Giants. We've got another Friar figure here, and it involves the man you're sharing the love seat with.
We do. And you know what? I was looking into this today for whatever reason. That reason, I'm not positive.
Yeah.
I was looking at it.
You can't control the beast. You just go
no,
with
it. No, it just kind of just happens this way. But I was looking into it, and Randy here threw 10 or more innings in a single game seven times. Three of which came against the Giants, which just seemed an outrageous number. Which, of course, seven times of 10 or more innings was a franchise record.
Yeah, I didn't
naturally.
Realize that.
That record is not going to be broken.
No.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
So then I started looking at it. I was like, well, that's a lot of innings.
Yeah,
that's a lot of times doing that. Since 2000, which is actually surprising to me, it's happened. Five major league pitchers have thrown 10 or more innings in a game since 2000, which I would have guessed would have been a smaller number. The last pitcher to do it was Cliff Lee in April of 2012, also against the Giants.
Wow. Wow.
Full circle.
Yeah, but it's all about pitch count, gentlemen. That's what it is.
And
yeah.
I started looking at that, too. Unfortunately, pitch count numbers aren't really complete earlier than 88. Because I was going to start adding on to that. And I couldn't.
Seriously.
So I just assumed you threw like 200 pitches like eight times or something.
You know, but being a prototypical, that'd be like one or nine innings. I probably throwing 80 pitches, 85 pitches. You know, and so you
took
it's
you 45
the 10,
minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
His car was double parked. Yeah, I just had to get out of there.
2 hours and 5 minutes. Yeah, it was 10 innings. Yeah. That's possible.
Yeah, it's such a different era when you think about all of that. Any of those stand out to you? Those Giant games? I mean, where you went at least 10?
Yeah, I got to share with you. I also I tied the Christy Mathewson consecutive innings without a walk record that game.
Nice.
You know, I got right to Christy Mathewson 68 and two thirds innings, and walked a guy. You know, could not believe it. I had no idea. I didn't want to know. I just kept pitching, but. I ended up walking the guy, tied the record, which really ticked me off once I found out when I got back to the dugout. And so I remember the ninth inning, it was like 0-0, 1-1. And I just remember I looked at McNamara and I said, hey, if we don't score in the bottom of the ninth, I'm going back out. Don't even think about bringing somebody in. I'll finish this. And I was serious. I went 13. I was going 13. I didn't care. But I was going to finish that game. I'll be dinged if I was going to blow the walk record and get a no decision. I wasn't going.
That was not happening that night.
That was not happening that night.
No, you were taking the decision.
I wanted to.
You would have rather lost than taking the no decision.
I would have felt better. Yeah. My God.
No,
I really would have.
All right, well, that's a good nugget right there. Hey, for more of those sorts of things, make sure you follow at Friar Figures on Twitter. It's an officially licensed account of the San Diego Padres.
What?
So you're getting
that's
all the
rumor.
That's the real deal
is
stuff
that a
right
rumor?
There.
Sure.
I love it.
You're mainlining Padre
officially
information by following at Friar Figures.
Do you know we can get sponsors?
And
I'm sure we have people for that.
Yeah, we got a guy.
We got a guy?
Yeah,
we got a guy.
We got to get
just ask.
What were you thinking sponsor? We've got a lot of sponsored things, you know.
Some Randy Jones barbecued sponsor.
Well, you know, I'm just always looking at that little
You're
edge,
a businessman.
You know?
No, I know.
Looking for that little angle.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate it. As always, make sure you follow at Friar Figures. This was another edition of
So That Happened.
Yes, it did. Hey, go back in time with the Padres for Way Back Wednesdays. The next one is coming up on July 1st. That's a couple of weeks from now. For a complete throwback experience and after the 1240 game against the Mariners, you got to stay for the live post-game DJ set from Lil Jon. Buy your tickets today at Padres.com/WBW. Padres.com/WBW. Seth's got a toy.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah, it took him a little while.
Though.
Yeah. All right.
Oh,
thanks again to Patrick. Follow at Friar Figures. More Social Hour right after this.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now. Presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Thanks again to Patrick for stopping by and dropping some Friar Figures on us. Good Twitter reaction to Friar Figures.
I like them.
Kurt Bavacqua checks in on Twitter. The
KB.
Kurt Bavacqua. We're talking about Bumgarner and Despaigne and sort of the trends against these two teams. The Padres generally have hit Bumgarner better than most. Despaigne has been outstanding against San Francisco. And Bavacqua says pitching stats on tonight's Padres and Giants will continue. And he used an emoji. Who knew Bavacqua was in on emojis?
Man.
Do you use emojis?
No.
No.
Well, every once in a while, but not very often.
You do, though?
Yeah.
They got a baseball, you know.
I know. I've got all those.
You got them all? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Got those. But usually I don't waste my time doing it.
No, it is a waste of time.
It
that's
really
a good way to describe
cute.
That.
Real cute.
All right, so Bavacqua is on board with all of that. We mentioned Lil Jon is coming to that Way Back Wednesday post-game
right.
DJ set next Wednesday against the Mariners. Anthony on Twitter wants to know, this is a good question, and it's one that I'm amazed we haven't asked yet.
Ooh.
Can Blooper get Lil Jon on Social Hour?
I've been told it's a possibility.
Really?
This one's actual realistically.
Are you saying the other things aren't realistic?
No, just Taylor Swift is a little more difficult.
Okay.
This will
what are you saying about Lil Jon? Why are you insulting a potential guest?
It's in the plans for Lil Jon.
Yeah,
maybe.
But now you can go 2-for-4.
Then you're betting.
Oh, betting 500.
Yeah.
I like that.
Hey. It's like when you were in school. You got 2 out of 4 questions right on the test. You got a B, right? Is that how that worked?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as they scaled it, yes.
Yeah. He was in a – yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Hey, Lil Jon wouldn't be bad. Not bad at all. That would be great. I would love to have Lil Jon here.
I'd just love to hear your questions.
Oh, I'd have questions.
That's what I mean.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, it would be a good interview. Jellyman, who's always enthusiastic, and we appreciate that. He was digging on the Friar Figures segment tonight. Also, Ben, And he wants you to know it's his real account. It's not a fake Ben, because it says The Ben. That's his Twitter handle. The Ben says, cool to see Fryer Figures on Padres SH. Maybe Ben, like some people out there, didn't realize Fryer Figures was an actual person. And so now he knows.
Now they know.
Because the person was here.
Amazing.
Truly. Truly amazing.
Truly amazing.
Hey, let's look at the starting lineup for the Padres tonight, and then we have a little bit of news involving the lineup for the San Francisco Giants. So the Padre lineup is presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. All right, so with the left-handed pitching Bumgarner out there, this is sort of the righty lineup, I guess. We seem to be seeing under Pat Murphy, Derek Norris in the two-hole against the left-handed starter. I love Norris batting second. So Melvin Upton Jr. leads off in center. Norris, Justin Upton and Kemp. Solarte at second batting fifth. Yonder will hit sixth, Middlebrooks, Barmis, and Despaigne. That is the Padres' starting lineup. Takeaway from that would be this is the lefty lineup, I guess.
Would think so.
Yeah. I like Melvin Upton Jr. getting some ABs here.
I do, too.
I want to see more of Melvin Upton Jr. I want to see what he's got.
Well, that's why he was activated. I mean, get him in the lineup, see what you've got. I mean, a home run a few games ago, and making this thing a lot of speed in the top of the lineup. I like Pat putting him in there.
Yes.
You need that.
Meanwhile, for the San Francisco Giants, a late change. So Nori Aoki was originally leading off and playing left field. Now, he left Saturday's game with like an ankle bruise, and the Giants have been calling him day-to-day. So Aoki in the original starting lineup for San Francisco, leading off and playing left field, he has been scratched. So Nori Aoki is out for the Giants, and Gregor Blanco instead will lead off and play left field. He was originally in right field, so Maxwell in to play right, Justin Maxwell. But anyway, the lead of that story is that Nori Aoki, who was originally in the lineup against Despaigne and the Padres, is no longer. So Bochy having to make a move, which is always a frustrating thing, I imagine.
Wouldn't have hurt me if it had been Baumgartner. But
they got scratched?
Yeah.
Or Posey?
Yeah, somebody like that.
Anybody
good.
Like that. All right, so there you go. That's a little bit of the lineup. Should we do the Supercuts head-to-head challenge? Yeah, let's do. You saw the lineup, and you guys on the couch, Randy. You got some making up to do.
I know.
Blooper, do we have the standings? Blooper, I believe, is leading the Supercuts head-to-head challenge by a score of 13.
Well, yeah, but it's not like we're just getting stomped over here on the couch.
You're within striking distance.
I mean, yeah, we've been limping around here. Both of the guys we've been picking exactly haven't been just, tearing the cover off the ball or whatever.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. So the way it works, of course, is you each choose someone from the Padres starting lineup, and it can be the pitcher, and whichever player is judged by me to have the greatest impact on the game gets a point. And so he's collected 13 points. You and the other co-hosts have collected 9. Randy's got the first pick today.
I do?
Yeah. So you can choose anybody from the starting 9 for the Padres, and then your hope is that that man will have a greater impact on the game.
The biggest impact on the game.
Than whoever Blooper chooses.
Despaigne.
You're taking the pitcher.
I'm taking the pitcher.
You're going OD.
Is
this about his arm or his bat?
Okay.
Next
question.
Okay. I like your pick.
Yeah, I'm Samir Despaigne.
Okay. Blooper, who you got today?
Norris, batting second.
Okay.
You always do that.
He does. Anytime Norris hits second, he takes
yep.
him. And you know what? He's leading.
I know.
He's 4 points ahead. He's
barely.
Four games ahead of you.
Barely right. leading.
That's the Supercuts head-to-head challenge. At Supercuts, they pay attention to every detail, the cut, the lines, the hot towel finish, so you can feel sharp, clean, and ready to go. Find a Supercuts near you at supercuts.com. We'll take a break, come back, and it'll be the last couple minutes of Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio right after this.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, getting ready for first pitch eventually in San Francisco. The Giants, they do this annoying 7:15 start. I don't know why that bothers me so much, but it annoys me. It aggravates me. So you got to wait like that 5 extra minutes for first pitch. And you say, it's 5 minutes, Jesse. What's the big deal? But it bothers me.
Yeah.
It annoys me.
And it's also 5 minutes later.
That's true.
The game's over.
I like the 6:40 starts they did in Arizona. I
like those.
Colorado does them as well. But they have rain delays every day, so it doesn't really matter what time you start
point.
The game because it's always pouring or looking like it's going to pour. Yeah. They need a roof, too. There you go. So today, Commissioner Jesse, Arlington, put a roof on it. Denver, put a roof on it.
Yep. I like it.
Simple.
Just roofs everywhere.
Just get a structure to cover the thing, and then you don't got to worry about that stuff. Hey, some news on the injury front for the Padres. Corey Luebke has been moved from Elsinore to Double-A San Antonio. He will pitch for them in relief. He had 3 one-inning outings with Lake Elsinore. So you're on the Cholula hot seat, Randy. What do we expect the rest of this year from him?
Just be healthy. Go out, get these one innings, get out of the bullpen, you know, but just keep working on the command and build that endurance up in that arm. And you might see him, you know, get a start, I would assume, probably in September.
All right, Cholula hot sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap.